Hello, welcome to Reflections on the Scriptures. My name is Murray Shanks and I'm the pastor of Foster Baptist Church on the mid-coast of New South Wales in Australia. And this morning, it's wonderful to be able to hand over the microphone to my wife Louise, who's going to be bringing the message for us today.
Thank you, Murray. Some days I feel like if I hear someone say, "We're living in unprecedented times again," I will throw something at the television. I feel like I just want to go back to when life was precedented, when we could walk into a shop without putting a mask on and holding a phone in front of a black and white square, when we could go wherever and do whatever we pleased, when we could visit our families, celebrate birthdays together, and go to church and sing. Murray and I have been in Foster for about 18 months, and during that time we've seen fires and floods, we've had to deal with the challenges of COVID, and we've had our church building contaminated with asbestos. There's terrible political unrest in our world. Climate change is now considered to be a crisis point. This week we heard that Australia is building nuclear-powered submarines to defend us against attack. And then there's sickness, surgery, concerns about family, and how I'm going to lose that extra weight that the doctor says is doing me no good. Do you ever find yourself asking, "Why, Lord?" I know I do. But I'm encouraged, because when I pick up my Bible, I find that I'm not alone in feeling like this. It encourages me that even thousands of years ago, people were living in unprecedented times, and they found themselves crying out, "Why, Lord?" This morning I want to spend some time looking at a time when Jesus' disciples found themselves feeling like that. I'm sure this story will be very familiar to many of you. It's the story of Jesus calming the storm. If you have your Bible with you, turn with me to Mark chapter 4. We're reading from verse 35. That day when evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's go to the other side of the lake." Now let's pause right there. Interesting side fact. This body of water is the Sea of Galilee, which is some 680 feet below sea level, surrounded by mountains. Because of the terrain and the weather streams, this place was known for being beautiful one moment, and then boom, the next moment a storm could appear apparently out of nowhere. Verse 36. Leaving the crowd behind him, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were other boats with him. A furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said, "Teacher, don't you even care that we are about to drown?" If you've ever driven past our house, you would have seen a little old sailing boat sitting out the front. That little boat gave us and our kids so much fun over the years. When we first got it, Murray knew what he was doing because he'd done a fair bit of sailing in the past. But I was a complete beginner, and I have to admit that the first time we went out, I was pretty anxious. We picked a pretty average day, it wasn't too windy, and I decided to be brave. Well, we got out in the water and everything was going okay. We were scooting along, probably faster than I felt comfortable with, but I was doing fine. And then suddenly, some wind hit and the boat took off. It started leaning to the side and I was terrified. Murray was having a ball, but I was crying like a baby and praying, "Lord, save us, we're going to die." Now, I cannot even imagine what the storm must have been like to get 12 men, some of whom were professional fishermen, to get to the same point as I did. But they were there. They were thinking, "This could be it. This could be the end. We're not going to get to say goodbye to our families. We won't see our kids grow up." These guys genuinely thought that they were going to die. This was not a brisk afternoon breeze. This was a serious storm. Now, some of you will be thinking, hang on, these guys were in a boat with Jesus, the Son of God. This shouldn't have been happening. There shouldn't have been a storm. Well, unfortunately, being with Jesus, being a Christian, doesn't mean that life is going to be smooth sailing. The storms are going to come. They're often only a phone call away. Our family learned that one day a few years ago. Murray and Brendan, our son, were packing to go to a men's camp at Nunes, out past Lithgow. I was getting organised to take our youth group to laser tag. All in all, it was a pretty normal Friday afternoon. The phone rang, and our daughter Lauren answered it. And the person on the other end of the phone told us that Murray's fit, healthy, 70-year-old dad had died whilst sitting at his computer paying his Optus bill. Suddenly, we were in a storm. I know that most of you know what that is like. You've had that phone call from the doctor. You've had a fall. You're driving along, minding your own business, and another car runs into you. It's part of life. Storms come, and often you get no warning. That's the reality of life in a sinful world. That's why we need to read and reread the stories of Jesus, because there's so much that we can learn from them that helps us when we find ourselves in similar situations. So let's look at this story a little bit more closely. Verse 35. That day when evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us go to the other side of the lake." Did you get that? The trip was Jesus' idea. And being the Son of God, he knew that a storm was coming. It was Jesus' idea. The disciples were in a storm not because they were out of the will of God. They were in the storm because they were in the will of God, following Jesus' direction. And that's the first thing for us to learn. God knew before you were born what was going to happen to you every minute of your life. Your storm hasn't taken him by surprise. Now, if you're anything like me, your next thought is, hang on, but I thought God was a good God. I thought he loved me. Do you mean to say that he's put me in this storm? Let's just stop for a minute and deal with that question. Did God send the storm? Now, I believe that there's a few places that storms come from. Some storms are the result of bad decisions. You may have seen this in your own life or in the lives of people around you. You make a bad decision and you've got consequences to deal with. You speed, you get caught, you lose your license. You put money in the poker machines and you end up in debt. You turn up late to work every day and you get the sack. You're in a storm, but if you're honest, it's the result of a bad decision. Some storms are like that. Another possibility is that you might be experiencing a storm from the enemy, Satan. I have no doubt that many storms are Satan's attempt to put us off our faith, to distract us, or to get us angry with God. Sometimes it's little things. I know that when we had little kids, the time when the tantrums were the worst was Sunday mornings, when we were trying to get out the door to church. I'm sure that many of the storms that we face as individuals and as a church are Satan's attempts to distract us, to get us off track, to discourage us. Maybe your storms are satanic attack. And then some storms have no reason at all. They are just the result of the fact that we live in a broken world. Our world has been ruined by sin. And Jesus said, "In this world, you will have trouble." Whatever the reason for the storm, the fact remains. God knew you were going to be in a storm. Now, there's all sorts of room for theological debate here about God's part in bringing about the storm. I personally like to think that God didn't cause it, but he did allow it, and he certainly will use it for good. Let's go to the other side, Jesus said, fully knowing that there would be a storm. Let's have another look at verses 36 to 38. Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along, just as he was, in the boat. A furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said, "Teacher, don't you even care that we're about to drown?" Thought number one was that God knew that the storm was coming. Thought number two is that he's in the storm with you. Never forget that. Verse 38 says, Jesus was in the stern. And what was he doing? He was asleep. I like that. The disciples were panicking, but Jesus wasn't. Jesus was not panicking. Jesus is never looking at what you're going through and thinking, "Oh no, look what's happening to Louise. What am I going to do? I don't know how to handle this." God never panics. In the middle of the storm, Jesus was there and he wasn't panicking. In the midst of your storm, know this. Jesus is with you and he's not panicking. Even if you can't see him or hear him or even feel him, he's there. And he's in control. That's such a comforting thought, isn't it? Psalm 23 says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." He's with you. He's with us. Hebrews 13:5 says it too, "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." So the disciples are scared and they wake Jesus. "Don't you care, Jesus? We're all going to die." Verse 39 says, he got up, rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." When you are in a storm, you are there because God allowed you to be there. He knew it would happen. You are there with his presence. He's with you. And finally, you are there for his purposes. Why? Because God is going to use the storm to teach you, to challenge you, to grow your faith, and to bring glory to himself. Think of the disciples. They were facing one of their greatest fears. What was that fear? We don't want to die. The disciples said, "Teacher, don't you even care if we're about to drown? We don't want to die." Now think about the journey that we know was ahead for those guys. What happened? A few moments after they said, "We don't want to die," they would see the power of Jesus as he spoke, and the storm obeyed. Over the coming months, as they lived and worked with Jesus, they would come to know his character. They would grow to love and worship him. Within a couple of years, they would witness his death and resurrection. And somehow through all of this, God would change these men who were fearful and scared to men who literally changed the world. They boldly preached the gospel, they planted the first churches and wrote our scriptures. Many of them died as martyrs for their faith. Jesus performed a miracle that day. But the miracle wasn't just calming the storm. He performed a miracle in the lives of those men too. The storms are part of God's purpose for our lives. Maybe that's why James said in James 1, 2 to 4, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance, and perseverance must complete its task so that it will make you mature and complete, not lacking anything." When the storm comes, there will be times when God will speak to the storm. He will heal you. He will miraculously provide for you financially. He will answer your prayer. He'll say to your storm, "Be still." But there may be other times when the storm will continue to rage on. But in the midst of it, God will say to your heart, "Be still." And you will experience the supernatural peace that can only come from God. Both will be miracles. Both will grow your faith. Both will bring glory to your Father. Storms are a part of life. You know that already. But God's word tells us that in the midst of the storms, we can know that God knew the storm would come. He allowed it. He's not surprised that you're in it, that he's there with you. Never will he leave you or forsake you. He's there, right there in the midst of the chaos, holding you, strengthening you, carrying you when you need it. And that he will use this storm for his purposes, to do something in you, through you, or around you that will bring him glory. Let's pray. We thank you, God, that nothing in our lives comes as a surprise to you. You knew what we would be facing today, and you know what is ahead for us tomorrow. It gives us such comfort to know that you are in control. We thank you that you are in the storms with us. You are with each of us, with our church, our town, our nation, and our world. Lord, may we be aware of your presence, guiding us, comforting us, and carrying us when we need it. Lord, we pray that you would use the storms in our lives to teach us and grow us. Grow our character. Grow us to be more like you, we pray. We willingly submit to your purposes in our lives. May our storms be great stories of your faithfulness and love. May our lives, even our storms, bring you glory. Bless your people, I pray, each one, wherever they are this morning. Amen.